Well, so far you've heard my voice, but then I brought two friends along. Next on the mic is my man, Jer. Come on, Jer, sing that song.
David Tyler.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
Fiona Hayes is with us. Fiona, good morning to you. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you getting on?
Fourth test, is it a real thing? I mean, I would have said no until I saw the South African team, and all of a sudden it's like, well, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, no one knew what was going to happen, I suppose, due to COVID, and their game was cancelled with Georgia. So, and Jack Sneenberg actually is out himself. So I think himself and Razzie's going to take the reins for this game. And they seem to have picked the big guns, we would say, as there's probably, I think there's seven players that were in the 2019 World Cup winning squad. So it's going to be a cracker of a game.
How important is it for South Africa to just get some of those players some game time, given that like they essentially have played almost no rugby since the World Cup?
Yeah, a lot of guys obviously have been away playing with club. There's a couple of guys, a good few guys over in England. A few have played over in Japan as well, and obviously their own league, they've got a few games in. But it's a different level when you get to that test level. So they're definitely overloading the squad this week, because I suppose, as you said, a four test, but they need to get these guys game time before we go into the three big tests that count.
In some ways, it's actually what the Lions need as well. There's a proper test. The result of the series is not dependent on it, but we will get to see how well the Lions are gelling against a slightly better class of opposition.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they had a 71-31 win last week against the Sharks again. I mean, that's not going to stand to them, you know, when it comes to big games, really winning by that much. I know it was a much tougher first half. The Sharks put up a big fight, and to be honest with you, at the breakdown, they were absolutely excellent. And I think the Lions will look at that first half and want to improve in that. They seemed a little bit lethargic and tired at times, but it's definitely, this game is what you're up for. And this is when we're going to see exactly, maybe a lot of guys might walk themselves into a starting place for the first test, or a lot of guys might lose out as well.
What about the psychological aspect of facing opponents that you are going to be playing at test time? Is there an opportunity here to lay down a marker, or is it keep myself injury free?
No, it's definitely lay down a marker. As I said, there's a massive squad. There's guys fighting for places. And as you've said, the media, everyone is dubbing this the four tests. So they want to go out. They want to lay down a marker. And it's that psychological advantage you can get going into that first test. They'll know that the South Africa have been kind of held up in their rooms for maybe the last week and a half. They've been isolating. So they're gonna want to go out and stretch their legs. And they mightn't be at the races for the start of the game. So I think the Lions are going to go out all guns blazing to start off this game.
There was a real sort of obsession, and a necessary obsession with power when the squad was initially announced. I guess tonight may be the first real challenge in that department, and it'll be the first time that the Lions actually get an opportunity to sort of hammer the hammer, so to speak, and actually up front try and beat up a few opponents that they're going to be coming up against at test time.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You can see by the makeup of especially the back row. I mean, you've got Jasper Visa, who's had a massive season over in Leicester, and he's just a big powerhouse at eight. And then Marco van Staden, a massive six as well. And Peter Steph de Toit, who obviously has won the 2019 Player of the Year. So they're really laying out a marker, I think, with their back row especially. And it's going to be a power game. And I suppose Mornay staying in there at 10 as well, he's going to be more of a distributor. So he's really going to be there, and I think we're really going to see the powerhouses really fronting up and big ball carries.
Do you think we're going to see like proper skullduggery, proper like aggression, and maybe the line being flirted with at times tonight, or does that get put on pause? Because I think like you mentioned staying there, and I guess the memories of the 09 test come back to your mind immediately when he gets mentioned. And that was a series not short on aggression, to say the least. It was like a bloodbath at times. Like, I think we're all looking forward to seeing this. Like, could tonight be that night?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. As I said, they're locked up in a hotel room. Imagine men like that being locked up in a hotel room. They're only itching to get out on that pitch. And, you know, we all know what South African rugby brings. It's very, very physical. So they're obviously want to go down and lay out that marker before the three tests start. So I think we're going to see exactly that, a bloodbath. I think it's going to be very, very physical. And the battle's definitely going to be won up front today.
And if you're the Lions, do you want to rouse the beast already by, like, you know, what... I don't know. Do you or do you want to just like keep it nice and calm? And after the first test is over, when you've won that one, then you can start being a bit lippy and fighting them. And like, I don't know. I would definitely feel like lull them into this false sense of security. Let everything go. And because certainly the history of the last, the 09 test series, I'm not sure we want to repeat that.
No, they're definitely going to be calm and collected. They've three good games under their belt. You know, they've kind of adjusted to the altitude. We saw them a bit tired in the last game, but they would have gone home and had a look at that. And they're going to go out. You have to front up first and foremost. You have to be able to front up because you don't want to give the you don't want to be giving South Africa that and be on the back foot. But I will imagine they'll be bringing a massive line defence. They'll be coming up nice and hard on these. And I suppose inside defence is very, very important today. So you will see a kind of hammer inside defence, I would imagine. They won't kind of be poking the beast just yet. I'd say around ruck time, maybe a few little things will be said, but they'll probably just find in their footing and trying to get and see what exactly the South African team can bring.
Yeah, okay. In terms of the style of play that we're seeing from the Lions, is it in any way a different or an evolution? Are you seeing anything that you would say is all of what Gatland would traditionally bring, but we have obviously a different attacking coach in Townsend this time and we're trying something different from previous Lions tours, or is it too early to say that yet?
No, I've seen a little bit. I mean, they're really, really working hard to get the ball wide to wingers. We can definitely see that. I mean, you've had Van der Merwe, who's been doing the Van der Merwe, who's been twice in a row man of the match. So like Gatland's style, we can definitely see it when we're carrying and in the pack, and you know, we can see it in that second line of attack as well. But I think we can definitely see Townsend really trying to stretch the fence by getting that ball wide, but they're obviously hitting up the centre to gain that time to be able to get that ball wide. So I do think there's a little bit of a change in what we're seeing. It's kind of a mix of all coaches in there.
Tammy, the debate about the captaincy was obviously not much of a debate because Alan Wynne-Jones was finished, but now he's back, or is coming back, we think. Who's captain if both Wynne-Jones and Conor Murray are playing?
I suppose I think it seems like an outside shot. I think it could be a psychological thing getting Alan Wynne-Jones back in there. Maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. But obviously if you're gonna go with the captain you originally picked, if they're both on the starting team. So I would imagine Alan Wynne-Jones if he's there. I'm an old school forward. I always believe captains should be in the forward anyway, because you get to talk to the ref, you're closer to the ref, you're in the mix of things, and I think especially the way Gatland works as well, it'll probably be Alan Wynne-Jones if both are on the pitch.
Are you not trapped at the bottom of the ruck too much when actually somebody needs to be telling the ref, he's offside, is the scrum half not the perfect one?
Nah, no way. You're looking up at the ref when you're at the bottom of the ruck, and especially scrum time as well. It's good if you ask your 9 or 10 to tell the ref that something's going on in the scrum. They don't have an absolute notion what you're saying. So,
Fiona, I did want to ask you about the other story that is just doing the rounds today, and this is it's on the back of the Irish Independent today. It's John Cooney, the Ulster and ex-Ireland scrum half. He's not going to play for Ireland again. He's disappointed about that, but that wasn't the main story that they're running with. This is the Tackle Your Feelings campaign, which is part of the IRUPA campaign. He's talking about Johnny Sexton. When I first started playing with Leinster, I did find it quite difficult the way he kind of spoke to me. We did play a bit with Ireland. I won't really expand on that too much. It's not really the type of communication I enjoy as a rugby player. I prefer a positive attitude. No one wants to make mistakes. It's something I've learned in how I communicate with other players. He's not the only out half that I've played with that acts like that. I'm sure through maturity, players, as they get older, realise the way that they can communicate with players, there's different ways to get the best out of people, and it's probably something I've learned through the last couple of years as a rugby player. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I think I've dealt with a lot of out halves in my time as well, and you know, like they're completely focused. And I think we, as well as that, you could look at Raj. I mean, like, from his playing days, he seems to have turned. He talked to people. He probably wasn't the best communicator, but now as a coach, he seemed to, as he's gotten older and he moved on to that coaching system, he really, really seems to have like focused on how you can speak to people, how things are done. But I suppose with Johnny, he's grown older. I mean, like, you know, every player has their way of working. And I suppose as a coach, you're going to have to work with those type of players. As a player, when you're with them, you might find it difficult because some people, as I said, work different ways. So obviously John Cooney doesn't work with someone roaring and shouting at him. someone else might, Craig Casey might like someone roaring and shouting him from that 10 position and letting him know what to do and that guidance. So it's all kind of player dependent. But yeah, I didn't, it's mad that he's come out and said it. It's not said very often, is it?
No, it really isn't. And not about somebody who you think might potentially be a teammate down the line. So that probably seems to have been torpedoed by that conversation. But look, it's interesting because earlier on we were having the conversation, like, you can't really criticise Sexton's standards and how he drove those standards and the achievements that he drove his team onto. Well, at the same time, it's possible to feel a little bit sad for Cooney that this was not an environment that he felt was going to get the best out of him. So I don't know, you know, if Joe Schmidt was reading this, or if Andy Farrell was reading this, or whoever was the Leinster coach at the time is reading this going, could I have done anything different to allow them both to prosper? I'm not sure that there's an answer to that always when it comes to sport and personalities meshing.
Yeah, and that's it. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think I haven't met a 10 that's cranky. And it's exactly what you said. It's that standards. I mean, they're driving the game forward. They're the ones that are overseeing everything. They have to make the big decisions. At times, they're the ones that are kicking for the post. So they have high standards for themselves. And in general, they have the same high standards for everyone else. But as I said, personalities mix and match. As a coach, maybe you could step in and maybe talk about the language they might use with one another. But I suppose from my point of view, my personality, like, I would have been a person that would have said, hey, don't speak to me like that, or I actually work better if you give me a tap on the back. I know I've made an error myself, or whatever needs to be said. So it's all kind of individual. But I think sometimes as we go forward, I'm seen as a coach now that, you know, that old school way of shouting or roaring at people, and, you know, that doesn't seem to work anymore. The younger people coming up just don't take that, and they don't respond to that, and you could see by their body language that they're not interested in that at all. So I do think it's changing, and I've seen that as a coach, especially in with under 18s, and as I've gone up to senior level as well.
And it has changed in that period of time, that like from when Sexton was a kid, essentially 18, 20 years ago, to now. And the Craig Casey example is a very good one. Like, if Craig Casey doesn't respond to that, then somebody needs to tell Sexton, don't do that.
Yeah, definitely. You need to get the best out of your players. So that has to be said. And if that's affecting someone's game, I mean, as a team, as a squad, you come together, and that's why you spend time together. That's why you train together. You start to understand people's personalities and what makes them tick. And obviously, as I said, some people might love roaring and shouting. I've seen players and they'd want you to tell them, get up off the ground, or move that, or come on. Whereas other people might like you to be ever so polite and say, would you like to get up off the ground? You know what I mean? It's just, it's this day and age, it's definitely changing. And I think we do need to adjust in how we speak to people, especially if it's upsetting them and affecting their game and their game management.
And for all we know, Craig Casey is this absolute monster who will come back to Johnny Sexton and say, screw you, Johnny.
I would put a money on it that he definitely would say, here, boy, what do you say in Limerick City? You know, if you have none of that.
And like, that's like, I mean, if you have that in your armory, that's, I presume, as a coach, what you want to see. Like, I presume that's healthy anyway.
Yeah, I love that at coach, and I love a bit of that when I see that on the pitch. I'll be telling the girls, I actually love that bit of bite. If someone's telling them, you tell them what you want back. I think that creates that healthy rivalry. And as you spoke of Johnny Sexton there, like, I remember being up in you know, in Tome Park, and up and that Johnny and Raj rivalry was massive. I mean, I think he pushed his head into the ground. Johnny Sexton went up and roared in his face after he scored a try. And, you know, they'd probably have a couple of points after the match, and that's all parcel of it.
Not sure at that stage they were having pints. I think that there was there was a proper simmering hatred at that point. It was like years later. At the same time, I do feel like Cooney coming out and saying that, I found that environment to be intimidating and didn't play my best rugby. Like, Cooney's a really good player, and we're seeing at Ulster what he's capable of. So we do need to create an environment where players feel like they can progress, and that they're not being micromanaged on, or the fear of failure is a terrifying and claustrophobic moment for a lot of people in their sports careers. And so, you know, I mean, if Sexton does go on to be a coach, then this should be a learning moment for him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's exactly that. You need to create that environment. And that's down to the coaching staff. Obviously, there's leadership groups on teams as well, and they can address that kind of stuff. If someone's not comfortable, when you go up to a camp, and that's at all levels, when you take a step up to a different team, there's always going to be a pecking order. You know, there's always people that have put their time in. There's always seats on the bus that you can't sit in. That's all part and parcel of it. But I suppose what you can change is the language in which we speak to people. And that's definitely something you want someone to welcome in and be able to free to play the style of rugby that they want to. And it's up to the coaches to change that, not the players on the pitch.
All right. It is really interesting because it feels like there's not a specific right and wrong, and the personalities involved are quite strong in this case as well. Fiona, great to have you on. Thanks a million. Enjoy the game tonight. Cheers.
I will. Thanks, lads. Mind yourselves.